Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the... I think Lance is here. I don't see
I'm
picture.
Here.
I don't see him putting stupid pictures behind him today.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Okay, are you put? Are you gonna do? Dell's gonna put you up or not? You don't think you're gonna do that today or not? What? I don't know.
I'm here to talk Rockets basketball.
We're gonna talk Rockets basketball.
I'm here to talk Rockets basketball. I'm not fooling fuss with pictures in the background. This is serious. Amen Thompson's gonna be suspended for multiple games.
He almost
killed Giannis.
I mean, you can't almost kill Giannis and get away with it.
No.
Right? I mean, so this is something that we're, you know, Amen Thompson, he's turned into the heart of this team. He really has. With the energy that he brings, when they drafted him and they said, you know what, we would have taken him if we were second or, you know, and I think they even said, you know, we would have taken him for, stop already. Wemby was the first pick, okay, so stop. And that would have been, but second? And you know what? They were right. Amen Thompson is the second best guy in this draft, out of that draft. There's no question about it. Yeah.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, he was potentially on the way to a triple-double, I guess. At what point was he kicked out? I was following on my phone. I couldn't watch. So I had to sit there and screen watch the score app on ESPN, which is not my favorite thing I've ever done.
Yeah, it was 92-90. It was late in the game. Giannis is going up. I mean, it's a big play, and he gets thrown out.
It's a hard foul, but he came, you know, I mean, he did. I mean, had he just come down, that's one thing, but to pull, like, underneath the chin.
Yeah, he grabbed his neck.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer. They were going to have to, you know, upgrade it, and which would see him ejected, and that's what happened.
Yeah, so, we won't see him for maybe a couple of games.
He might get a game.
He'll get a game. You know what? The Rockets are, you know, they're the most aggressive team in the league. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ain't going to send him a message because the Rockets get in more scraps. And Amen now again with, you know, the way he threw that little fella from Miami all over the place, that little guy, Tyler Hero, and now this. He's starting to add him up now, and Adam Silver
might go.
You know what? Now you got to settle down, son.
That's a good point. Two ejections will start getting you a little. Your fines are going to go up, and they're going to start looking at you a little different way. So you got to be careful because he does have some edge to him.
Yeah. Oh no, he's got a lot of edge to him. I like it. I mean, he ain't afraid. I mean, he'll bow up with anybody in the league. He ain't scared, and that's great, but it's gonna catch up to you with the league. That's for sure. I mean, he's certainly not Draymond, but you know he's got a couple of those are. I mean, that's Giannis right there, and the way that he pulled down Tyler Hero, that was national news. That was all over the place. So he better watch himself. Although, you know, I love it. He gives the Rockets. Who knew he was, you know, that point guard they drafted? He was going to be the enforcer on the team. Who knew that?
Yeah, who knew he was going to shoot up to 6'9" or whatever he is as well and lead the team in block shots?
And, who knew he'd be a better power
He's a little different guy now. He's almost positionless. It's just, like, what do you need? What do you need? You mean me? I can get you assists, rebounds. I can get you some dunks. But it is. But he does have to be like. He's got to learn. You can have a hard foul. Just don't do the extra at the end, which gets you kicked out. Like we don't need that. But just come down and keep him from going up for the basket. That was his intention. He just didn't. just followed through funky, and it turns out he gets kicked out of a game and maybe suspended a game. But the Rockets win, and more importantly, they won with some defense, and they found their defense in that game, and that's a big deal because the defense has been such an issue headed into that game. You know, the Rockets are the fifth seed right now, and it wasn't that long ago we were at the Golden Nugget, and they had just started a little bit of a slide. When we were, what was it, early beginning of February, they were the number two seed, and they had just lost another tough game against late in the game because they collapsed against, was it the Knicks? And we were talking about, like, okay, you got to get this fourth quarter handled. Well, I mean, this is the West for you. The West is so bundled up that you were a two seed then at the beginning of the month. Now you're a five seed. You know, that's a big deal. You want to be inside those first four, and to do that, you're really going to have to play with better consistency than you played with this month. You're going to have to finish. You know, March needs to be a much, much more consistent month for you, and you'd love to get inside those first four. Obviously, it's much better than you expected to. It's not really better than I expected. I thought they'd have a chance at the top six, but top two, top three, that was certainly more than I was expecting. But I still think it's possible. I mean, they still just have to get back to playing the level of basketball they were playing. So we'll see if they can.
Yeah, they're only a couple of games out of two now. I mean,
yeah,
it's
no,
like,
it's not. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's jumbled. I mean, but it can go from two to six quick.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, the Lakers are better with Luka. The Golden State Warriors are better with Jimmy. It's just the other teams did get better. They were not. Was Golden State worrisome before the trade deadline? No,
not really.
Were the Lakers? No, not really. Now they are. Luka went. You know, Luka had the Mavs in L.A. last night, and he stared down the bench. He had a triple double. He didn't hit the points. He only hit 19, I think, last night.
19,
but he did have a triple. He had a triple double. And, you know, the Lakers just look good again. The Lakers are going to be a problem. The Golden State is going to be a problem with Jimmy. They're going to be a problem.
Yeah, they are going to be. You know, watching the Lakers and Mavs last night, it was, LeBron is LeBron. He's not the same player. I was really focused on him. I said, let me see how much of a difference I can spot in his game. And you really notice that he's noticeably slower. He's not, his movements aren't explosive. Like every once in a while he'll get up and he'll have a dunk. You go, whoa. But in terms of moving towards the basket, taking you off the dribble, it's really more about size than it is about quickness and explosiveness. But he still gets, it's not really relevant because he gets to the shots he wants to get to. And so it's really more just an aesthetic thing. With Luka there, Luka takes so much pressure off LeBron that LeBron can be, I think he can be happy on the court again. I think he feels competitive in that situation, like he's got a real chance. Luka is going to lean into, hey, I want to get in better shape. Like, Luka's going to be the best version of himself without question in Los Angeles, certainly for this year. We'll see about moving forward. So they, you know, that would be Austin Reeves is a good player. They've got some talent. The Rockets have a better, you know, a deeper roster. But anytime you have LeBron and Luka, your top two players, and the game starts to slow down, like, for example, if you're matching up with the Lakers, the game's really tough for the Rockets because you got two extremely talented, experienced players. And remember, the Rockets, this is an inexperienced playoff team. Yes, you had Dylan Brooks. Yes, you have Fred VanVleet when he comes back. But the core, the young guys, have no playoff experience. So it's really going to be interesting once you hit the playoffs with these teams that are on the, you know, behind the teams that have been sitting behind the Rockets, like the Lakers and the Warriors. If you have to match up with them, they've got some distinct advantages in half-court games with the veterans that they have on the court. So you need to finish this strong and go into the postseason with some swagger. And hopefully a game like yesterday where you lock it down defensively, and it was not a game, you know, you really beat the brakes off the Bucks on the boards. But other than getting on the boards and beating them up on the boards and second chance points and points in the paint, you weren't great in any of the other categories. You didn't shoot it well. You had more turnovers than you like. But you gutted it out. And that's what you got to do.
You know, you had a lot of minutes from all the guys. You got another one tonight. You didn't play Steven Adams last night, so he's possibly there tonight. We'll see if Fred was allegedly able to come back. We'll see. He didn't play Cam Whitmore. But Jatari Eason got the start yesterday, 32 minutes. Amen, 34. Amen might not be around tonight. We'll see. Dylan Brooks, 35. LP, 35. Jalen, 37. Jabari, 33. You played a lot of minutes last night for your core. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of motor they have tonight. Alpi looked good again last night. He doesn't have to have Fred VanVleet on the floor. He had 11 boards and he had 23 points, and he was efficient. He shot his free throws well. So it was I think he really likes going up against the best. You know that? He really does.
He does.
It invigorates him. He never shies away from the best guys in the league.
He's had some phenomenal games against Wimby, Jokic, and now Giannis. Yeah. Like, he's not. Yeah. You're right. You think he'll shy away, but you think he might from time to time. Yeah, he had a game against Wimby that wasn't great, I think, earlier in the year. But for the most part, he is really good in these games. Even if they're not directly guarding each other, he steps up and has big games and big game situations. So you love to see that.
Yep. So they win. They got San Antonio tonight. San Antonio obviously hurting with no Wemby. And so we'll see if they can't take care of business in a back-to-back. They're not great in the second games of the back-to-back. So hopefully they will be better tonight. They didn't have to travel, which is awfully cool. The other story yesterday was Cam Smith hitting a couple of bombs yesterday for the Astros. And holy crap, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. If that kid can come up and he can be, if he has himself, Lance, a nice career.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out, you got for 1 year left on Tucker, you got 3 years on Paredes, four on Wisniewski, and six on Cam Smith. So, I mean, it could listen, I'm worried. We'll see if Wisniewski can turn into a starter. I hope so. That's a local guy coming home. He's pitching for his hometown team. That is great. We'll see if Paredes can play decent third base, but if he can take advantage of those Crawford boxes, that would be great. But if Cam Smith turns out to be a player and a core player that you got team control of for 6 years, boy, oh boy, did you win that Tucker trade?
This is why you had to make the trade, though. This is why I was pining for a Tucker trade in advance, because this is the kind of thing you do to rebuild the core of your team. This is what gives you the next chance of the next iteration of the Astros, but you got to find those next stars. You can't, you know, right now you're not really growing them at home the way you want to. You hope you will with a couple of your latest draft picks. You're hoping that hits. But Cam Smith is an instant injection of potential stars, a star potential in the lower level. And I was excited about the Tucker trade. Didn't bother me as much because you got their best prospect in the minor leagues. Like, you got their number one guy. So that's all you're hoping to do is get another number one. If you can go number one for number one, Tucker was phenomenal. And Tucker's probably going to keep being a really good player for the next, 6 to 8 years. And that's fine. He's also going to cost a ton. And Cam Smith is not. And that's going to allow you to do some free agent stuff to maybe, reshape your team if need be. Fromber may be the next one to be dealt. If this season doesn't go the way you like it to, Fromber could be next up, and Fromber could end up bringing you one or two players who end up, I mean, in theory, he could end up bringing you one or two players who end up being the core of your next team. So it's knowing when to hold them and when to fold them, that old Kenny Rogers edict is important, because once you know that, okay, we're not the team, but you have to be honest with yourself. Drayton McClain could never be honest with himself about who this team was. I give Jim Crane credit. He's trying to do both. He tried to fold them and hold them. He tried to fold them by moving Kyle Tucker, but at the same time, he made more free agent moves, which we'll see if it's a smart move or not. But I appreciate the sentiment of what he's trying to do, which is be competitive while still adding a really good piece. I say Jim Crane and Dana Brown, by adding a really good piece to your future. So, man, I'm excited about Cam Smith. And he's a good-looking dude. He looks good on the hoof. Like, this is what a star outfielder looks like.
Mm-hmm. Is he as you thought Bob? You thought D'Amico was really, really handsome. Who do you think is more handsome, D'Amico,
I spoke directly to D'Amico yesterday.
Cam Smith?
I haven't really looked at. I haven't really seen Cam Smith much. I can't tell you.
Well,
I sat next to him on a plane. So
no, I know.
If he's on a flight back from Indy, I will let you know.
You had some man love. You had McVay. You have some. You want to spit in his mouth? So
McVay talks like this. Hey, I'll tell you. Like McVay is just another version of Gruden. He's Gruden with way better hair, is what McVay is. But I mean, everything about him is like a young Gruden. But with substantially
who can pull better
hair.
Gruden or McVay? Who can pull?
what do you think? The proof is in the pudding.
Well, I don't know about Gruden's, but I do know McVay.
Proof is in the pudding. McVay minus 10,000.
What do you think? Okay, what kind of odds are you giving on underdog? Who pulls better?
I don't know. They don't do odds. They do higher or lower. And, yesterday was a win for your boy because they had a special. I went to the lobby. They said, "Hey, free pick." And this is what they'll do when you're on board. When they're on board, you'll see profit booster, 60% profit booster, 30% profit booster, 40% profit booster, free pick, discounted pick. The free pick yesterday was Luka higher than 0.5 points. Obviously, that's an easy win they're giving you. So I said, "What else is going to happen?" Well, Kyrie is going to have a big game. So I went higher on 26.5 points. And so there's an easy win. And I knew I had one that was in the books. I just had to find one using sports knowledge, which was Kyrie was going to want to have a big game in the return game versus Luka. And he got off to a quick start, and that's what you look for. You take your knowledge. The game was going to be on TV. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Watch the games, and then take your knowledge of higher or lower at the Rockets. Maybe I had higher on – maybe I had higher, took a long shot with – oh, no, I had – double-double on Amen Thompson. He got kicked out of the game. But that might have come in. It might have come in. That's just one of those things. Now, had he been injured, I got what's called a rescue, where you get they will refund your play, and they will give you a free pick. That's what Underdog Fantasy is doing for you. Underdog Fantasy is the most fun you can have by picking higher or lower on the statistics that are given for all these different players. You find the right ones. You mix and match 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different players, and you can win up to 1,000 times your original play. You make your first deposit using promo code Lance. When you download and sign up for Underdog Fantasy, use promo code Lance, and they are going to give you up to $1,000 bonus cash and a free pick. Do not miss out, but you have to use promo code Lance. It's Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 703-780-3776. We got a couple of callers. Uncle Freddie, let's get him in here quickly because Gilbert is on the line. We haven't talked to Gilbert in a while. Got to see how he is. But Uncle Freddie is here. What up, Uncle Freddie?
What's happening? So I have somewhat of a house divided. I got Maddox, my proud fighting Aggie, and then I have Will and Jordan Siddick, Dustin Farah, Peyton Govea, an ex-UT commit, Vic Coronado, now Texas State commit, Vic Coronado. And I want to mention how great the win was last night by the Bobcats defeating the number one Texas Aggies in baseball 7-3. And it was the first game I've ever watched on the ESPN Plus app, but Texas State's got a good little baseball team. Be careful. They're going to I think they're going to make some noise if they can sneak up. Trout's done a great job with that program. But super, super big night taking down the number one Aggies.
How about that? That's cool.
That is good.
Good for the Bobcats. Nice job.
Very good win.
That's your daughter's boyfriend, right? Plays shortstop? Oh, he hung up? I think that's his daughter's boyfriend that plays shortstop. But that's great. Hey. Beat the number one Aggs. That's a big night. That's a really big night. Yeah, good for them. Good for them. Nice job, Texas State. Give a little up to the Bobcats.
I mean, I guess it's a big night, but we are the home of Aggies baseball as well, so we're not really fans of Texas State beating our Aggies. But sure,
they're on our air. What are they going to do? We're not 6'10 with the Texans.
I mean, I'm not rooting for anyone to beat our Aggies.
Just the Texans.
No, I'm not rooting for it either, but listen, it's a great story. We like the underdog.
Is it a great story? It's a midweek baseball game that someone won.
Yeah, that's what makes it even better. They're trying to bury the lead in the middle of the week.
Such a great story that you had no idea it occurred?
No,
I knew it.
Now everybody that's listening knows that it happened, and it's great for that little program. Panama.
You would have buried it on your show. You wouldn't let anyone know.
I wouldn't by Barry never mention it. Is that what you mean? Yes,
yes,
you're
that's
correct.
What I mean.
You are correct.
That's right.
I would have never brought it up.
Because you're an elitist.
I'm not an elitist.
Okay? You are an elitist.
I'm not an elitist. You're the one.
Okay, we like the story of David beating Goliath. Mm. Okay, we like that.
That's
around
right
here. That's right. We're
so
the
can
underdogs.
We get updates?
We're
on,
the people.
Can we get updates on Tuesday night baseball games going forward in college baseball?
If you'd
hopefully
like,
cool.
Hopefully,
that's up to you guys. Your task every week is to bring the best story from college baseball on a Tuesday night to the Wednesday.
You really
show
want to do this because you're going to have couple of listeners who become
enthralled
with the concept.
I've been told it's a great story, so let's do it.
It's a great story.
Next,
I mean,
you wish.
Okay, if number
do it
one
on Del Show.
Next
do it on Del Show. Let him feel
oh,
the
so
experience.
It's not such a great story. You don't want it on your show?
No, you just said you want to have that.
Next
so
Wednesday,
Del really wants that.
Hey, next Wednesday, if you have some random connection to a smaller Texas school and they get a big win,
call into
this show Wednesday morning.
Call Del.
Yeah, and when Alonzo Ball's brother drops another dime on people, okay, everybody,
dime.
Let's listen to Del's show.
What do you mean dime? You mean
whatever song he drops.
He's not a snitch, not that I know of.
Okay, whatever he drops, make
either
sure they call
or
Del's show.
An assist, one or the other.
Either way, it has to be.
Whenever he drops a song on
yeah,
it, okay?
I would welcome that more than...
No, I'd like to hear the story about the up and coming program beating the number one team in the nation.
That's
what sports is all about.
Oh, if number one gets upset next Tuesday night, call in about it, everybody.
Nobody knows. Dropping tracks, okay? Beat it, Alonzo Ball's brother.
LeAngelo is his name.
No one knows his name.
I just told you his name.
What is it?
LeAngelo.
They call him Jello.
Jello. Yeah, he's Jello. Time to bring in Gilbert. Hey, Gilbert, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Good. All what's right going on, Gilbert?
You didn't come to your birthday party. What happened?
Yesterday was your birthday, right? Or when was it?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday was your birthday.
Did we say we were coming?
I'm in L.A.
I don't recall
Lance
that.
Said he was, Lance was there, though.
I'm in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Del was in town.
Yeah, well, Del, did you go?
Go where?
To Gilbert's
birthday party.
What? Did he have a party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Gilbert?
Nobody didn't show up.
Then it's not a party.
Not even Lance in the car. What happened?
What happened?
How in the world would I show up when I'm in Indianapolis,
well,
Gilbert?
Why'd
I'm not
go
in the state.
Why'd you leave town?
Yeah.
Because it's more
why'd
important
you leave
on Gilbert's birthday?
Mm-hmm. Well, there it is.
The NFL said I had to go, so sorry, Gilbert. The workplace said I had to go.
Did you promise to go to his birthday party?
I did not. I did not promise.
What about next week?
I went to emergency room.
Yeah. We want to see you next week, Lance.
I went to emergency room last Sunday night.
What happened?
I'll fall down anyway.
You fell down?
I do believe that. This is the second
time before your birthday? You did? Oh, man. Well, then how could we have a party if you were in the emergency room? Did you break anything?
Did you come, Lance?
Yeah,
to the emergency room? I didn't.
He did?
Did you come, Lance, or not?
Did I come where?
What?
Did I come where?
Where were you, Lance?
What happened? Where were you?
I'm in Indianapolis. I'm here at the Combine, Gilbert. I had to leave. I'm on a plane. I'm in Indianapolis. I'm in a different state.
What?
We'll come next week. How that sound?
It's not your birthday. We got a golf tournament on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'll try to come by. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't want to make any. If I say it too definitively, it's on.
Then it's.
What did we get? How that sound?
Nope. I'm still in Indianapolis. I think John is back this weekend, though.
No, I'm not back this weekend.
When do you get back in?
Monday. Monday.
That's a lie.
No, Monday. We got the Oscars are Sunday.
That's a lie anyway. You going to Oscars?
Yeah, we're going to the Oscars.
Yeah, Monday is definitely a no, and Tuesday is definitely a no. I got stuff to do Monday and Tuesday.
Yep.
Come on, Monday. How that sound?
Yeah.
Nope, next Monday I got stuff to do all day, and Tuesday I've got a golf tournament.
Yeah, we got a golf tournament, Gilbert. Yeah.
And how about Tuesday?
Tuesday, like
Tuesday,
I just said.
We have a golf tournament.
We got a golf tournament.
Yeah. What about Wednesday?
What about Wednesday?
We'll John and I will see about coming by.
Yeah, we'll see,
you're
Gilbert.
On the hook too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. But we can't
Wednesday,
promise anything. But yeah,
we're working on Wednesday. We're efforting Wednesday.
Yeah, we're Wednesday.
How
or Thursday?
Sound?
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, happy birthday, Gilbert. I'm sorry
happy birthday, Gilbert.
Are you better? Do you feel better? Do you fell down? Are you okay?
Yeah. You just come to that emergency room all day for about 5 hours, you know.
Oh, man. That sucks. Wow.
What was the deal? What'd they end up saying?
No broken bones anyway. Just have,
it just hurt, huh? What'd you hurt? Your leg?
Pneumonia.
Your hip? What? Huh?
Pneumonia?
Pneumonia? Wow.
There's not really a give and take here. We don't really have a question and answer coming back.
You fell down and caught pneumonia? Wow. That's weird. A lot of people don't do that. But Gilbert, well happy birthday, and we're gonna try to get out to see you next week, okay?
All right.
Okay, buddy. That went well. I thought that went well. Okay. 713-780-3776 so far. We've had
somebody goes in Twitch. Y'all are making Gilbert sad, you asshats. Yeah. Dude, you don't know what this is like for 27 years. You literally have no idea.
How? Well, yeah, what? Because we didn't, because I'm in L.A. and we didn't show up.
Because I'm in Indianapolis and couldn't go to his birthday.
Yeah,
you
sorry,
go, Abraham.
We made Gilbert sad.
You go to the birthday.
Yeah, what, did you go?
What do you do? What have you done? Yeah. Have you done anything? No. Shut up.
Yeah, you've done nothing for Gilbert
your
whole life.
You've done nothing, so be quiet. Unless until you've done something, until you brought him egg rolls or a steak, don't talk.
Yeah, until you got him an interview with Roger Clemens, stop. Yeah.
I had Jennifer Reina literally come or Colleen Wolf FaceTime him. Until you've done something, don't talk.
Yeah, brought him Jennifer Reina. Until you've done something, okay, we don't need your ass hat comments.
Yeah.
I like
stick your own ass hat in your own ass hat.
Wow. Whoa, wow. That got a little more aggressive than I wanted, but okay.
I'm just not putting up with stuff while I'm in Indianapolis. I'm telling you right now.
You're just not, are you?
I'm not going to. I'm not putting up with dumb, stupid Texans need a new stadium talk. None of this.
Yeah, no. Guess what? That ain't going away anytime soon, brother. That ain't going away.
Oh, I know. I mean, as soon as they fired Greg Grissom and hired the new guy, it was obviously a stadium move.
Yep. Nope, it's over. We're gonna be force fed public funding for a new stadium for the next couple of years, and it could get contentious over the next couple of years. We'll see. I know this. I've saved money because of Champion Energy over the last 17 years. I don't know if I've saved enough to build them a stadium, but I certainly have saved myself some money. You know, and I used it for golf. I used that extra money how I want to use it, right? You use the extra money that you're going to save with Champion Energy how you want to use it. I've saved I don't know how much money over the years. You will too. If you're looking for a better way to get that electricity, if you're sick of paying those high bills and you're like, what is the deal? Let me try something else. I got it for you. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got to talk to D'Amico yesterday, right?
Well, it was the entire media.
Well, I know, but you specifically were the
most
important.
Yeah, I asked a few.
And
I
were there
a
any
few questions.
Other
I had
Hall
the
of
battle
famers?
Sarge was asking about seven. But
is he a Hall of Famer?
No,
he's not
that I know of. But
no.
I got mine in there. By the way, I met Will Kunkel too, and had a couple beers with him. Really good dude. From Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Really good dude hustles hard. And
he hustle. He is a hustler.
Yeah, he's a hustler. Yeah. Anyway, so he was there with the group, and we were, you know, what they do is they have four podiums, and it's just a rotating. It's kind of cool, you know, different coaches and general managers, and you can just go, and the podiums are right next to each other. But the way the speakers are set up, you can't really, like, wherever you are, that's all you hear. It's kind of cool. And so I listen to Brad Holmes I listen to John Harbaugh from Baltimore, and then I listen to Brad Holmes, a GM from the Lions. And then after that was, I want to say there was another GM, and then it was, today Nick Caserio speaks, and then it was D'Amico. And so I had a front row seat for D'Amico Ryans, and so... I don't have the label. I don't have the questions. I don't know if you have them, John.
I do. We do. We got some sound.
Yeah, you can bring them in. But I did ask a few different questions. But D'Amico, he gave pretty good answers yesterday.
Yeah. So, okay, first one. How do you feel? I mean, because they got immediate needs. How do you feel these immediate needs right in one off season?
Constantly evaluating needs throughout the season, so you see kind of where you fall short, where you can add, bulk up your roster a little bit. So that conversation is always going on between myself and Nick Caserio. Like, we're always looking at how can we add a guy here, right? Where is this guy in his career? You know, is he further along in his career? Is he towards the end? Is it time to kind of move on? So those discussions are always constantly going on while at the same time you're trying to win games and put guys in the best position to win games. So I think to be a good coach, to run the organization the proper way, you have to constantly always look at your roster. Who are you adding? When it comes down to even the practice squad guys, like, do we want to add this guy? Can he push our starters? So it's constant communication, always about how can you improve your roster. Because as you see with the Super Bowl, I think Philly is a great example of a team that added a lot of great talent to their roster, and they ended up in the big game and won it all because they had best players.
They had really good players that they added in the offseason. I don't know if they answered the question. You know what, with no no salary cap space, you know, limited number of draft picks. You know, that I'm not sure that they're going to be able to fill all the needs that they have. Offensive line is a key. Okay, and asked what does he look for in an offensive lineman? Here is what D'Amico had to say.
I look at offensive linemen first and foremost. I'm looking at, you know, pass protection. Like, how good is a guy in pass protection? And then, you know, for everyone, for me speaking, offensive lineman, I want to see that grit. I want to see that toughness, right? That nastiness of how guys are finishing their blocks. Right, what type of leaders these guys are, how passionate they are about football, that's very important to me when it comes to the offensive lineman.
Okay, so that was my question. That was my question. Yeah, although it was a little bit like with a new offense coordinator, and he actually answered it better than I ask it, because I ask about the offense coordinator and offensive line coach with new guys there, is anything changed with what you look for in a coach? And instead, he gave me the answer that really, I think, typifies where we are. Did you hear what he mentioned? Leadership, he mentioned toughness and finishing, and he mentioned grit. These elements that he looks for were lost from the Houston. They are not on the Houston Texans. Will Kunkel, we're talking about the offensive line yesterday. We were with a staffer for another NFL team we're sitting, who Will knows, and we were having a drink over at Yard House, and he said... And Will said, I've never seen an offensive line more into, like, fashion. He said, usually they got the, you know, it's like hoodies and they're growing beards. And it's like, you know, it's this one is really different. I'm like, yeah, this one is fashion forward. It's a little different. And I don't think it's a good thing, by the way.
Is it? Well, the first thing he said, though, was that I look for pass protection.
Well, yeah.
You know, I look for a guy who can pass protect. Is that a little bit of, I don't know if it was a shot, but it certainly is certainly not what Kenyon Green brought to the table.
No, it's just when they drafted him.
That
wasn't D'Amico,
He was a run blocker first.
Yeah, but that wasn't D'Amico who was there. Well,
no, I know.
I think
that's what I'm saying.
that's where they are as a team now. They got to get pass pro. So he's got to. That's got to be the most important thing now. They also didn't have C.J. Stroud at that point. so that's the most important thing to him now is pass protection. And I think
I guess we didn't care about protecting Davis Mills. So
I don't think it was I think the number one thing you're just trying to do is just get guys who can play. Like, you weren't trying to be specific. Now you're trying to be specific, and you know that you have a very specific issue. But what he mentioned was basically he said leadership, finishing blocks, and grit. Well, that's run blocking. You know, that's run blocking. And then at the beginning, he already said pass blocking. So basically he wants toughness. He wants guys who will finish and strain and show grit in a run game. And then he wants guys who can pass protect. So basically he wants everything to be better. And he doesn't think he has it with his offensive line. Well, he just said that's what I'm looking for, but you need to read between the lines. He doesn't think he has that. They are going to draft an offensive lineman, and whoever they draft is going to be tough. They're not going to, and I can start naming some of them to you, like Tyler Booker from Alabama, Wyatt Milam from West Virginia, Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. I can start naming guys, Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, who fit the mode of what he's looking for. Yeah. There may be specifics that are different, but clearly he wants ass kickers in there, and he's tired of what he's gotten in his offensive line. And I, for one, am happy to see it.
If they're not stylish now, once they get to the Texans, they will be. They're going to learn about some fashion.
I think that's a problem. Yeah, I think that's a problem. I don't think he wants them to be stylish.
Well, you know what? They will be after they get here.
Well, once again, I'm hoping they're not.
What?
Ronnie, you're one Ronnie Stanley signing away from trading Laremy Tunsil for a first and moving forward with hoping and praying that Ronnie Stanley stays healthy at left tackle. But it might be worth it. You know, it might be worth the risk just to get the room a little different in there, just to change the culture of the offensive line room, to change the vibe of the offensive line room.
But what is Ronnie Stanley's vibes, though?
Well, Ronnie Stanley was a Raven.
I know.
You tell me, like, how are Ravens?
What kind of shoes does he wear?
Shaq Mason was fine when he was a Patriot. He got here, he's like, wait a minute, I got to get my Louis game up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I was this busted.
Yeah. Yeah.
The honest truth is, Laremy has he's a very talented left tackle. He's a tremendous amount of influence on the team. He's a captain. He was given a captain just because of his salary and all that. But he's not a leader. He's never, like, no one calls him a leader. You never hear one thing about him being a leader. Never once. He's never mentioned by C.J. Stroud or any of the other players ever, ever, ever. And that is intentional. They know what they're doing. He's not, like, that's just, and he has, you know, an impact on others in the room. And I just think that you have to, it starts with, if you want to build the trenches, that's a toughness when you say build the trenches. And I think that you don't have, you know, you don't see those guys getting chippy at the end of plays and knocking somebody off their quarterback and knocking a guy off the pile. You don't see typical O-line behavior. And I think that's, you know, that's something that is concerning to me. Those guys are the ones who are kind of, you know, they're in the mud a little bit. They're grimy. They're the guys who every once in a while will pick up a 15-yard penalty because, hey, don't mess with my quarterback like that. You took liberty with my quarterback. I'm going to knock some linebacker off the pile and get a 15-yard penalty. I don't love getting 15-yard penalties, but I do love the fact that you have a toughness, a culture of toughness. You know, I like that, and I think that's missing right now. Technically, you need pass protect. Obviously, that's a big deal. I'll tell you something off the air. I don't want to say it on the air because it was a private conversation.
Well,
but I can tell you this. Chris Strausser was thought of as going to be a bad hire for the Texans. Before it was done, there was a thought that this is not a very good move for the Texans. He was the O-line coach that they just got rid of.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, priority one, and D'Amico said this too, Dell, we got this, protecting CJ, okay? And it's simple, but, you know, it's pretty obvious. Last offseason, they said they had to bolster the defensive line, and they did. They brought in Danielle Hunter, although you could argue Jonathan Greenard was just fine, and he would have been just fine with Jonathan Greenard. But they brought in Autry. You know, they got rid of Sheldon Rankins. They got rid of they just made a lot of moves on the defensive line. You may be on to something with trading Tunsil and getting a first and and bringing in another a veteran tackle here, because D'Amico, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Protecting CJ is the main point of emphasis.
Protection for CJ is it's definitely a main thing, main point of emphasis for us, right? We know, you know, when CJ is protected, he has a clean pocket, right? He's a pretty good quarterback. And I constantly show guys clips in our meeting after a game of plays when we protect well and we have a good pocket. I'll show guys explosive, show, I mean, outstanding throws CJ is able to make in the middle of the field, along the sideline. Like, he's capable of making any throw on the football field, but it's just a matter of protecting him and giving him that comfort when he's in the pocket. When we do that, we can move the ball, we can make plays. So that is a point of emphasis for us, of making sure he is protected better.
There it is. I mean, I think it's simple, but it's something that has to be done this next season.
Yeah.
Because that was ridiculous last year. Just anyway. Ridiculous. Anyway. All right. Breaking a break. 713-780-3776. Whatever you want to talk about, get in here. 713-780-3776. All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We got a couple of guys that want to get in here and talk. Chris in the Woodlands wants to get in here. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's more of an info line question. I love talking Texans, but what emergency room in the city of Houston could deal with Gilbert in the waiting room for 5 hours? Just didn't know if you guys thought about that. Is anyone local there? Because 5 hours, the front desk lady and the nursing staff and the doctors, can you imagine the torture that they went through waiting for 5 hours with Gilbert sitting there?
Yeah, but it might not have been waiting room. He might have been in a room and then just waiting for a doctor or whatever. But regardless, your point is a fair point. It's not easy.
Anyway, love you guys.
I need a nursing here.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I need
a stadium in here.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, somebody put that. I mean, holy crap. Can you imagine Gilbert for 5 hours in the waiting room?
Holy. I can't. I can barely imagine him for 6 minutes on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Thanks for that. Israel is here. Hey, Israel, what's going on?
What's up? I want to talk about the number three pick that the Rockets wasted with Shepard. Yesterday when I said be patient, y'all not patient with nobody else? A number three pick? Are you serious? They should have picked him in a second round. He's trash, and he's not going to get any better. He's like the leprechaun guy who win the dunk contest, but he can't jump like that. he's trash, bro. Be patient for what? What's his upside? There's no upside, bro. They're going to get rid of him, too. That's all I got to say about him. He's just trash.
You'll miss on this one because he's not. First of all, he has nothing to do with Mac McClung other than he's white. Mac McClung cannot shoot. All he can do is dunk. That's all he's been able to do is jump over cars and dunk. Reed Sheppard is a shooter, period. Reed Sheppard, just like we had patience with Cam Whitmore and Alpe and Jabari and all this, that's all we've been able to do is have patience with these guys. That's all we've been able to do. And Reed Sheppard doesn't need to play right now because he's not ready to play. But, I mean, a guy who's a shooter stepping onto the NBA in his first year, like, and he doesn't even have that many minutes – and we're deciding he's trash. This sounds like I'm taking a call from Mason. This is what it sounds like when I talk to Mason. Like, honestly, the guy's got to have time to play, just like all these guys have to have time to play. That's just what it is. Like, you can't – it's like that for everybody. Once you see they can't play, then they can't play. That's fine. But you don't see that when a guy's not even playing his rookie season. And I don't know. For me, I didn't even care about them having a third pick. For me personally, I thought they were already too full on their roster. But once they got a guy specifically for shooting, I like that because they haven't had a legit shooter. I don't know when the last time they had a good shooter, John. I honestly don't. In all my years watching Rockets basketball, when is the last time they had a bona fide shooter? This guy is a good shooter. He will come along once he acclimates to the speed and tempo. Once he gets playing time, once he gets reps, he's going to be fine. But he's not ready yet. He's just not. And that's fine because you don't have to have him ready. Like, why are you sweating Reed Sheppard? Like, you got – that's he's really on your mind if you're sweating a guy who doesn't even play. Why you want him playing ahead of Cam Whitmore? I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want him playing ahead of any of these guys. I want him waiting. So I'm not – I mean, to me, sweating a guy off the bench who's not playing just because he was a third pick, the Rockets already were loaded headed into the season on their roster. They were. Now, maybe he will end up being trash, but I'm definitely not saying that about any. I didn't say it about Jabari. I'm not saying it now. I didn't say it about Jalen. Like, you saw those guys got to play right away and got to get reps right away. This guy, we're in a different situation with the Rockets now. You don't have to play right away. But I guess he and Mac McClung are just alike.
That's what I think. Except Mac has
their
done.
Games are so similar.
Except Mac has done more on All Star Weekend than Reed has ever done.
Mac has done
well,
more on
All Star Weekend for now.
Reed had his first, okay, and he was fabulous.
Was
so.
He? What did he do?
I think Reed Sheppard's going to win the four three-point shootouts.
Four.
He will win more 3-point shootouts than Mac McClung wins dunk contest.
That feels unlikely.
There it is.
There
it is.
Will he be?
So at the end of his career, we will take this up.
No, we won't, because we won't know each other.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we will. I'll be going to your funeral like that guy.
You're
the African guy that's standing there in his suit.
You're going
to
be dead in 2 years.
You know that guy?
Yes, I'm aware of the
meme. I actually will be dead
in
2 years.
Don't,
that's true.
There's no, true. I'll tell you this. I won't be going to your funeral.
Well, as long as you don't go like the guy who's seeing his enemy or whatever.
No, that would mean I cared enough to pose for a picture. No, I'm not doing that.
I can't give up on Reed Sheppard just yet.
Now you heard him. He's trash.
Slow down.
He's not even
Slow
playing.
Down.
That's like you've been waiting to make this phone call since he was drafted.
I mean, you gotta give the kid a chance. I mean, he's on a really good team that's fighting for playoff positioning, and he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And I mean, he may doesn't play rookies. Who knows? Reed Sheppard, you know, if he got minutes, he may admit it. He's too good for the G League. He's too good for the G League, but he ain't, you know what? He ain't ready right now, not for an Ime team anyway. If he was on the Wizards, he'd be playing every night, and you don't have any idea how good
he'd
be.
I think he needs to get his weight up by about 5 pounds, get stronger. He's going to have to, you know, the one thing that really stands out to me is he plays with good anticipation defensively and quickness, but he can't stay in front of guys. He's not strong enough. He's got to get stronger, and he's got to learn to defend. He's got to learn to be a more physical defender. And then the other one, the shooting is just shooting's just confidence thing. That one is just a pure confidence thing because you can see the flashes, but he's just not a confident player right now. And that's fine. Confidence comes with playing. But, I mean, I'd throw him in the G League. I don't know what the problem is. I don't care. Let him run. Let him shoot 30 times a game, score 40 points. Whatever. Just give him some confidence. He's not going to be playing for you. Go throw him in the G League for a little bit. I know he was there for a little bit. Give him more time. For what's he doing on the bench? What's he learning? He's not learning anything. He's not even getting reps.
Well, no, Ime thinks he's learning more by being here.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ime would know better than I would, but I guess he gets mental reps. He gets to see. You know, maybe there's something to be said. Now that the team is much better, okay, maybe there's something to be said for that. But you still need to get him time. The same way you needed to get Cam Whitmore time. These guys need to actually swing the clubs a little bit and just loosen up. You gotta get them some action just to keep them, you know, physically engaged, mentally engaged with the game.
While Israel was over the top, we can say that we did not foresee Aaron Holiday taking Reed Sheppard's minutes this year.
No, I didn't see that.
No.
And even in a game where Fred doesn't play, that Aaron
Holiday
gets 11 minutes.
But I also thought that idea that Reed Sheppard was going to be Rookie of the Year. You know, that was the sentiment after Summer League that Reed was going to be the best. You know, the sentiment after Summer League was Reed Sheppard might be the best player in this whole draft. And because he was that good in Summer League. For me, I just thought, okay, but where is he going to play? He's not going to start. And then they gave him minutes right out of the gate. They gave him minutes, and then he lost those minutes. And then he's never really gotten it back. But Ime has given him opportunities. He played some when Van Vliet was out, but then – you know, you're not defending. This team needs defense. And Reed Sheppard's not a defender. He's not ready to play. I'm with Israel on that. He's not ready to play. I'm not calling any player trash after half a year and where a guy's not playing a whole lot. That's silly. I mean, let's see. Let's let them play so we can really find out. I don't think anyone on the Rockets' roster is trash, to be honest with you. I think this is the first time that I really like their roster in a long, long, long time.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, you got thoughts on that or anything else? Thanks, Israel. We appreciate it. We appreciate you calling in. That's great. In the meantime, 713-780-3776. Let's talk right now about HRP. I heard Chad talking about it in the during the break before we started the show, and he very well summed it up. I mean, he's worried about his business, okay? He's worried about making money doing what he does, cleaning up oil spills and whatnot, and any kind of hazardous waste. That's what they do. And he says, you know what? I let HRP worry about the stuff that I don't know about, okay? And that's payroll, and there are a lot of pitfalls. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the payroll department and in the HR department and in the taxes and everything else. And also, HRP knows about the 401Ks, and they know about the insurance plans, and they give you options for those. And they say, hey, we feel like this one is best for your business. HRP ain't making any money off of those. They don't care about that. Now, these other admin companies, they've got their own packages of 401Ks and insurance and everything, and they're putting those on you as opposed to giving you options. So HRP has been a better choice for us. HRP will be a better choice for you. Don't do stuff that you don't know. You don't know payroll. You don't know HR. You don't know taxes. You don't know about the 401Ks. You know what you sell. Do you, and let HRP do HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.